There's a new film coming out this week that tells the story that inspired Herman Melville's Moby Dick. It's called In the Heart of the Sea, and it stars Chris Hemsworth as Owen Chase, first mate on a whaling ship out of Nantucket that ends up in a fight for survival after encountering a particularly vicious whale. Ron Howard directed and produced the film. You may know Howard from his career as an actor, famously on Happy Days. Or if you're like me, you know him as the narrator of Arrested Development. Hi, Ron Howard. It's Jeremy Hobson.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That's a familiar voice.
That's a familiar voice. I was going to say the same thing to you. I actually wondered, I was thinking to myself, why hasn't he ever had a radio program? Did you ever think about that?
I love radio.
That was the beginning of our conversation when Ron Howard joined us from New York to talk about In the Heart of the Sea. I asked him, with a career that includes directing Apollo 13, Splash, The Da Vinci Code, and A Beautiful Mind, what was it that drew him to this film?
Well, I was so surprised by it when I read it and realized that it not only was the origin story for Moby Dick, but that there was an origin story, that there was a true story, that this event had occurred, but that the survival side of it was as dramatic and powerful as any other element in the story.
Were you familiar with Moby Dick?
I read Moby Dick in high school, and when I went back and reread it, I realized that I'd actually been spared. They'd given me an abridged version back in high school. But In the Heart of the Sea is based on Nathaniel Philbrick's book of the same title. He's a great historian. He also wrote a wonderful thin little book. It's basically a long essay called Why Read Moby Dick? And it is so informative because it draws a lot of parallels between the drama of the survival story of the Essex and some of the themes in Moby Dick, among other things. And it was interesting to draw those connections.
Well, and I imagine there are going to be a lot of people who go out and read Moby Dick after seeing this film, if they haven't already, or even if they have already. But one of the things that we see in this film is just these great images of whales. How many of those were real whales, and how much of that was just CGI or something else?
None real, all CGI.
Wow.
And yet, this movie really couldn't have been made. I wouldn't have undertaken it unless technology had reached that point where you're not asking the audience to suspend disbelief. You can really, as a director, as a storyteller, offer something that's immersive and authentic. And all of the behaviors, as intense and extreme and dangerous as they are and ferocious as they are all based on accounts, etchings from people who witnessed, you know, those kinds of really terrifying moments. Also taking inspiration from the way Melville wrote about the whale Moby Dick. He had been a whaler himself, and then of course there were the firsthand accounts of the men of the Essex, the real ship that was sunk by the 100-foot-long bull sperm whale.
Although when you think back to when Moby Dick was written, the feelings about whales around the world must have been completely different than they are now. Now we think of saving the whales. And I thought as I watched this, sometimes you're actually rooting for the whale.
Well, you know, I wanted to take a very balanced view. I see this as a very relatable contemporary kind of story. And a lot of the themes are very modern, while the overarching story, which is a simple one of struggle and survival and sort of living through that kind of gauntlet and the way that it changes you. But underneath it are these themes. You know, whaling was the energy industry then. The whale oil basically lit the lamps that kept the city streets around the world from going dark at night. And yet, not only was this huge industry, but there was this brutality connected with it. And you see, even in the writing of Melville and others, people were acknowledging this paradox, this dichotomy. Mm. And even the men of the Essex, when they'd been attacked by this whale, they were shocked by it. They'd never seen nature turn on them in this way, with that kind of intensity. And in their journals and notes, they openly wondered whether this could be punishment, you know, if they'd sinned, and this was the result.
Well, and it's not just the whales. The sea, in a way, is its own villain in this film. Let's listen to a scene from early in the film. The Essex is out at sea, and there's tough weather ahead.
Sir, squall has started, Val. You must shorten sail immediately.
Not just yet, Mr. Chase.
So we're headed into a squall at more than 8 knots, and it's moving faster than that.
Let it come. Men are soft for months on land. They need a good baptism. Let them know our work has begun.
If we don't shorten sail and bear off, it'll catch us on the beam.
Mr. Chase, we will stand on. Mr. Lawrence?
So it turns out to be a huge storm. What about that the fear of the sea? I see that you were raised in the middle of the country in Oklahoma. Are you afraid of the sea?
I'm not a fan. Now, I directed Splash. I directed Cocoon. You know, I spent a lot of time on the ocean working. But, you know, I don't find myself going there for recreation very often, if ever. I'm fair skinned. I'm a redhead. I just get burned out there. And, you know, the place is a little foreboding for me. I can swim. I don't think I'm, you know, I don't think the sharks are going to get me the minute I'm in the water or anything kooky. But it's not a place I find comforting. I, however, have long wanted to make a movie that was set entirely in that environment because there is so much drama. And now technology has allowed me to work with cameras that are small enough, tight enough to make that kind of story both epic and expressive, but also very, very intimate.
Chris Hemsworth also starred in another film of yours, Rush. What makes a particular actor stand out to you, makes you say, this is the person that I want to play this part?
Well, it depends role to role. With Rush, I had seen Chris in Star Trek and Thor. I'd met him briefly. I had no idea what his range was. And he sent in this remarkable audition tape. As I worked with him on that movie, and I called Kenneth Branagh, who directed the first Thor, and he said that, you know, this guy has a lot to offer. He's not only good to work with, but he has chops. He has range. I found that to be the case throughout Rush. His creative ambition is it's not neurotic, but it's very focused. He brought me this script.
Yeah.
And I felt a couple of things. I felt, well, it's a script that's been around for 12 or 14 years. It never came together. Now was the moment, I felt, because technology could allow us to create the world and give the audience an amazing, authentic experience that really would transport them. And I felt like Chris Hemsworth was the perfect actor to play Owen Chase. And when you read Nathaniel Philbrick's book and you read about Owen Chase, you know, he's practically described, you know, in a way that brings to mind Chris Hemsworth.
To return to port without a single barrel of oil would be a mistake, sir. And help behoove a man whose name is Pollard, or Chase for that matter. And the best thing for both of us would be to work all hours God sends us. Fill this ship with oil and be home inside a year and rid of one another as quickly as possible.
Is there any actor that's still on your list that you haven't worked with that you'd really like to work with?
There are so many great actors and directors, and I feel like that there are just, more talented people out there than I'll ever have the opportunity to work with. But it makes it very, very exciting, especially for me. You know, I look for interesting creative challenges, and I love to find collaborators to help bring them to the screen. It's exciting for me. And these last two movies in a row, Rush and then In the Heart of the Sea, has been one of the richest creative periods of my life. I've really enjoyed those challenges.
Well, this is the interesting thing, I think, that connects to the story of this film, which is that if you look at the body of work that you have, it does look like you're always looking for a challenge, because you can't put all these movies into one box. They're so different.
Sometimes it's a little confusing for people, I know. And I never wanted to be a brand director. I didn't want that kind of stamp. I wanted to be more like Pacino or Dustin Hoffman or Meryl Streep or De Niro, you know, a chameleon as a storyteller, because I love all kinds of movies. And by the way, I'm not a very adventuresome person by nature. So these movies force me to go places, think about things, engage with people who I otherwise probably would never have the opportunity to. It's been a great way of life for me, and a stimulating one. And I find it, you know, at least as exciting and promising today as I did when I broke in with my first feature film in 1977.
And how are you able to adapt, and how do you like to adapt to the new world of Hollywood? Because not just in the world of movies, but your show Arrested Development, now being released when it is on Netflix all at once, as opposed to one episode at a time. It's a very different world than when you got started so long ago.
There are more formats to explore narrative. And that is exciting to me. Now, the economics are strange. They're challenging. Creative people have to be ready to roll their sleeves up and make sacrifices. But different tastes are being serviced with more specificity than ever before. And that means that storytellers with particular tastes don't really have to amend them to broaden it. They can really talk to like-minded, you know, people with a shared aesthetic and sensibility in a way that really has not been available up until recently. That's good for the medium. It's great for fans. And it's exciting for the creative community, if not a little daunting sometimes. It's just not a simple system to follow anymore. But why should it be simple?
That's Ron Howard, the producer and director of the new film In the Heart of the Sea, and of course, so many others. Ron Howard, such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Nice talking to you.
And In the Heart of the Sea opens Friday or Thursday night for all you diehard Melville fans.